Good afternoon and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Tanya and Tara and myself. And last time we talked about circumcision and how yeah, I hear the giggling over by Tanya.
Just the interesting way that the Lord used it.
It was an interesting way how he used it, wasn't he? That all those that were there that had not been circumcised, he wanted them circumcised so they could go on. And it was commanded to do that. And he commands us to be circumcised in our heart too, all the time. So Tara now is going to talk about the circle of obedience, disobedience, and we're going to compare and contrast in this chapter, obedience and disobedience.
That's exciting. Okay, so a quick recap, kind of paraphrasing Joshua 5. That's what I call it, because that's what it is, isn't it? You know, the kings in the land were observing and watching. The nation of Israel saw how God parted and allowed them to cross the Jordan, and they are melted in fear because of the nation of Israel. God commands Joshua to circumcise the nation. Joshua obeys, the nation obeys, and then it gives us like a postscript in scripture explaining to us why this had to happen, because as they came out of Egypt, everybody that was male, military age, were already circumcised, but they all died off because of disobedience. They weren't allowed to go into the promised land, versus those that were born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. And in order for them to move forward, they needed to be.
And you know, when you were talking about that, you know what crossed my mind? It's kind of a strange mind sometime. We talked about children being circumcised, but were these adults also?
Yes.
Yeah, so that just blew my mind.
Because 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, ouch.
40 years. Okay, so yeah. 20, I'm thinking, I may be wrong, but I'm thinking age 20 is military age,
yes,
and up.
Yeah.
So for 40 years, you know, anybody that had been under that 20 years of age that weren't circumcised, and then those that were born and grown up into that.
Well, that's
would
what
have
I thought,
be.
But I thought, well.
So yeah. 59 and down.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
And so they had to obey, and they did. And then God tells them, I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt upon you. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that it falls during the time of Passover. Mm-hmm. And they begin the Passover celebration, and they get to celebrate. And God allows them the privilege of eating the food of the promised land, mm-hmm, the land of Canaan. Remember, and that was the land of milk and honey. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, miraculously, just as the manna appeared, it miraculously disappears. Mm-hmm. So the day after they have eaten from the land of Canaan, the manna does not appear ever again. And so from that point on, they're eating in the land. It's just gone. And, you know, just wake up the next morning, the manna that's been there forever. And I think it's interesting, you know, when they were griping and complaining about, mm-hmm, the manna, God didn't take it away.
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. He took it away when it was no longer necessary. Mm-hmm. And so isn't that
and
interesting?
And they were being obedient.
The manna, mm-hmm, was not removed until it was the time was right.
Yeah.
And so even though they weren't happy with the manna, God kept giving them the manna because it's what they needed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's a pretty huge lesson. Mm-hmm. And then Joshua is standing there, and it doesn't give us any details. I would have loved to have known, was Joshua up early? Was it late at night? None of that is told to us. But all of a sudden, this man appears. He's got a sword, and Joshua's like, man, you for us, you against us? And the guy says, I am the commander of the Lord's army, that I come. And Joshua falls face down, and he's, I'm the Lord's servant. What does he want? You know, what does he have for me? And the commander tells him, you are standing on holy ground. And so he tells him to take his sandals off, and Joshua obeys and immediately takes them off. Just the power of the moment, and that they've crossed over, they've followed through in obedience and laying the stones, they have followed through in the obedience and being circumcised. And now what God wants them to understand, he has provided for them. And in a way, my mind just kind of is thinking, by the manna stopping, he's wanting them to understand it's now their time to provide,
mm-hmm,
in a way that God's been providing. It's, mm-hmm, now for them to step up.
It's another spiritual growth.
It is. But before they begin that full measure of that provision, they have to understand the land, which they will reap the produce and the animals, it's holy ground. Mm. It has been set apart. Just as they have set apart their hearts, God has set apart the land in their behalf. And so what I want us to do is I want us to compare and contrast obedience to disobedience, because it's rampant in here. And remember last time I was talking about that when we see a movement of God in this passage, I want you to think through obedience. How did they move toward God? And by how moving towards God, how did that help them move towards righteousness? And how did they move towards the ownership of their inheritance? Because when we recognize the movement of God, God's going to require us to take away that which sets us apart. And so, and then I want us to think about in disobedience, how disobedience removes us from God's presence, his righteousness, and his inheritance. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because those three are really here. So let's look at this. In what ways do you see obedience happening? And how? What were some of the blessings that happened because of obedience based on what we just looked at? How did the enemies respond?
They were, you mean from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, just seeing what had happened through coming through the Jordan. They were in fear. They were completely fear-filled, paralyzed is what my Bible says. Because of what they had seen. They'd seen the power of the Lord right in front of them, and that is their God, the Israelites' God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is a blessing of obedience.
Mm-hmm. The protection,
I mean, the enemy will have their hearts melt in fear when we move forward in obedience.
And he has said that throughout the scripture? Yes. Yeah. I remember reading that and thinking, and he does, and he does.
And there it is.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That, you know, we have this enemy before us and we think, you know, but yet God, if we are walking forward in obedience, the enemy's heart will be melted and they will be in fear because they will see his presence.
If God
upon
is for us, who can be against us?
And exactly we didn't have to do anything to do it.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have to make the the weapons. We didn't have to build the wall. We didn't have to do anything.
Just stand firm.
Thinking, you know, if there's situations at work or situations at school or when there's an enemy.
And they're all there,
Just through prayer, surrender, and obedience, God can completely throw something on them, you know.
Completely.
Work something in their heart,
Yeah.
Pass that fear on, whatever it needs to be. Yeah.
He can melt it. I just thought of in the Dorothy the Wizard of Oz, I'm melting.
Literally, yeah. She was.
That's crazy. All right. What about the fact that... Think about the circumcision and that God told them, in order for them to move forward in obedience,
they had to be circumcised.
They had unfinished business. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it was important that God reveal unfinished business?
Well, I think he reveals that to us every day, you know, and that's why we confess, you know, ask for forgiveness, because he's revealing to us that we're out of his
presence.
Presence,
will.
His will, yes.
Yeah. Unfinished business has to be dealt with.
That's a biggie.
And ever had something that you just didn't want to deal with and you just kind of kept putting it off?
Yep.
I'm speaking from my own sin.
Yep.
unfinished business has to be dealt with. In order for us to move forward, we must deal with it. And what I love about this is God brought it before them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't let them remain ignorant of what the unfinished business is. And this past week at the Open Door Mission, one of the things that we were dialoguing about is the fact that oftentimes when our unfinished business is brought to our attention, the first response is talk to the hand because the head's not listening, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Or maybe the head hears it, but the heart's not willing to connect with it. Mm-hmm. But maybe the head and the heart get it, but we're in fear, and so we don't allow the hands and the feet to put action to it. There's a process that has to take place in order for us to move forward. Instead of viewing the revelation of unfinished business, sin that needs to be, you know, confessed or relationships that need to be dealt with, broken, because they're not healthy spiritually, whatever it is, instead of fighting it, recognizing this is good, that this has been brought to me. Mm-hmm. Because if God has taken the time to bring it before me, there's a reason he wants it to be dealt with. because he knows it's what prepares us for a greater work.
Absolutely.
But we have to be willing to listen, because if we don't stop and listen to what he's saying, we miss it.
We do. And my kids and I have had this dialogue, and I know I've said this before, you know, I hate it when somebody points out my sin.
Oh, yeah, I know. Don't we all?
Uh-huh. And my instinct of the flesh is to fight against it.
Yeah, it is.
You don't know what you're talking about. Who are you to judge me? Or whatever. I mean, that flesh can come out instead of having a teachable spirit.
James.
Yeah.
And God knows what we're made out of, because he tells us to
gently
point out the sins.
Yeah. Tara always says, with love. I tell that to everybody. Absolutely. Okay, we need to do everything in love, with love. It's all about love.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we always?
It wasn't cruel in how he did it.
No.
I mean, it was just actually very matter of fact. You know, he says, Joshua, make flint knives, circumcise the Israelites. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, y'all have been out of the will. It wasn't, for 40 years, you guys have broken this covenant that I have commanded you to fulfill.
Yeah, it's not reprimanding at all. No. He's just commanding.
It was very matter of fact.
Just do this.
It was very matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a circumstance with my mom, and we were talking, and I know my mom will not mind me sharing this, and I'll make sure I tell her I did this, but it just came to my mind. We were discussing something, and I just said something to her, and my mom, I have learned so much from her, and this is why I want to share it. She said, she was sharing with me, and I just looked at her, and I go, you know, this is what you need to do, and she was so out of the will of God beforehand, and she just looked at me, and she goes, you're right. It was instant obedience, instant on her part, instant. And I'm like, God, that's what I want. I want my heart to be just like I just saw my mom.
Usually we just take offense instead.
She didn't. And I was apologizing to her. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. And she goes, honey, I get it. And I was so ready for the fight that I was so shocked by the humility.
Yeah, yes.
That's what it is. It's humility. The other's pride. Offensive is pride.
It was beautiful. And I mean, I was stumped by her humility. And I thought, God, that's exactly what I want. I see this in Mom, and that's what I want. And that's exactly, I mean, it just, Scripture was so clear. It's make flint knives, circumcise the Israelites. And then the next sentence is, Joshua made flint knives. I mean,
there was no hesitation.
Right.
But you know what? Back to this with your mom, and it'll apply to this. She felt loved at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's so much easier to receive when you're feeling loved. I think that's the thing. And now here in this moment, God's shown his power. He's shown them, I'm sending you to the promised land. I'm with you. He's raised up Joshua to help lead him through. He's shown that love. He's prepared them to receive it, I think.
Yeah.
Preparation.
You know what? And I think, Tanya, as you said that love, I think it's that it's safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My mom and I are very safe with each other. We can be very real about our sins and our blessings. I mean, whatever it is, my mom and I, it's a very safe place for real discipling to take place.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Isn't it? Yeah. And that's really, if what you just said, it's the love, but knowing that I'm safe with this person. This isn't because this person is out to destroy me.
No,
it isn't because this person's out to condemn me. It's because it's safe. This person wants me to be the best that I can be.
And I think we need to learn that, too, because sometimes, you know, people call this hitting them over the Bible or whatever. We've got to have that relationship first, that love relationship where they know that you really care about them.
Yeah.
I don't think we can just go in and point out their sin without a relationship.
You know, but even sometimes crazy things happen and that you have dialogue and there's no relationship.
Well, yeah.
Like I did with the other day with the conversation with the guy that came in to work on our furnace.
Yeah.
But they were asking for that. They were asking for the information, not we were just going to them and giving it.
Yeah, right.
There's a difference.
Absolutely.
Well, and I made sure that I confessed my sins as I was sharing the stories.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I've really struggled with this. And this time, I have a hard time with this one, you know, kind of thing.
And they see
makes
the
you genuine.
Humility. Yeah. They see the humility. Absolutely.
I hope
authenticity.
So, because it's not always there.
Well,
and this is interesting because we just had a situation at our church where when people would like to serve there, they go through a little face-to-face process, and it's just a little interview, and it just, you know, make sure they're walking through the their process of growing, and making sure they've received the Lord, that, you know, walking through them through baptism, why it's how it's shared in the Bible, it's biblical, you know, to do it as an adult, etc. Little things like that you can have that dialogue with. And then there's some where, I mean, we have to ask, is there any known repetitive unrepentant sin and give some examples of what it could be living together before you're married. And this poor couple, they were living together and had to be just discussed, and it's an awkward, hard
that
moment.
Would be awkward. Mm-hmm.
And we were so excited because they'd just come forward. They'd probably been at church 3 years, and finally they're wanting to serve, you know? So you don't want to crush that spirit.
Right.
But had to call it out.
Yeah.
And only in love, because God wants something more and better. Mm-hmm. And if you separate for a time and walk in purity to, you know, apart, learn how God desires you to love one another and honor Him before your marriage, to know how much He will bless your marriage after. So explaining that, and hoping that but in the moment one received wanted to change quickly, and the other was judgment in the moment, felt judged, but God did a work, and within 4 days healed, and they were moving. It was already in the process of separating.
And there's the key too.
That's
God
beautiful.
God did the work.
The spirit has to do
beautiful restoration.
Yes.
And helping us to see that, you know, this is, our sin isn't, we're not saying ours is, you know, less than, or yours is greater than.
Right.
And that we are wanting us all to be where we are restored, where it is. And He will continue revealing different aspects. Yeah. And as I was dialoguing with my friend, I mean, he just kept sharing one struggle after another where he perceived the spirit of judgment. And then I was sharing Bible passages to show how Jesus responded in those same type situations, because it takes us hearing from the Lord and why God has it. And so what I kept going back to is that God has a design, and that yes, of course, it's permissible. But just because something's permissible by society does not mean it's necessarily what's best in God's design. And so even going back and just asking God, what is your design for me in this? How does your design lay this out for me? And why is it best? And I use something simple as diet. And in the Bible, you know, diet of not eating pork, God, in God's design, He said don't. And now look at all the scientific research that tells us heart disease, hypertension, heart attack, that it's one of the foods they recommend you know, don't eat bacon. It's bad for you, blah, blah, you know. And I go, in His design, you know, have we been given license to eat it? Sure. But is it what's
good for
best?
Us.
What is
right.
it?
And
is
I do
it
like
maybe
that.
Permissible?
Yeah.
And so helping Him to see that it can apply in many ways. And so going back and asking myself, what is the design? Because I want to move forward in obedience, because if His design is what's best, I want best. God wants to give us excellence. Not partial.
Yeah, we settle sometimes for mediocrity or whatever, and we shouldn't.
Well, we thank you so much for listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back next week. God bless.